Praise God. Why don't you turn over to Romans 8? We've been talking about for some time about being led by the Spirit of God. We're going to continue in that series this morning. Romans 8:14. Romans 8:14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God," the sons and daughters of God. If you're led by the Spirit of God, you are a son of God or a daughter of God. In other words, sons and daughters of God are led by His Spirit. Are led. So there's no such thing as a son or a daughter of God that God doesn't talk to. You're just the one that He blew off today. In the day when you really needed to hear from Him, your number came up. No communication today for you. He's not like that. If you're a son or a daughter of God, He's speaking with us. Now, what we're talking about and emphasizing is discerning His voice, discerning the direction of God. And this is so important, so vitally important in our lives. If we can determine what He is saying to us and the direction we ought to take in our lives, then we just have to walk in it. Then we don't have to be unsure when things get rough, when they get shaky, when our faith is tested. We can look back and say, yeah, but I heard God. This is where I'm supposed to be, and we can stand firm in faith. If you don't know you're in the will of God, then when the storms of life come to us, and they come to us all, we're not immune just because we're Christians and just because we know the Word. The storms of life will come to us and test our faith. But the thing we have to know is that we have victory in the midst of the storm. That God didn't leave us just because a wave blew up and something's raising its head in our lives. Just because we go through a rough patch does not mean God is not there for us. We have to know then that He is there for us, but the things of this earth can cloud that. And if we're confident in the middle of that storm that we are in the will of God, then we can boldly say, because this is one of the enemy's favorite tactics to get us off, is when things happen to say, well, why is that happening? Why is that happening to you? Why is that happening? If God is on your side, why is this happening to you? Are you sure you're in God's will? Are you sure you shouldn't have gone over here? Are you sure you shouldn't have made this decision? You sure you should have bought that house? You sure you should have taken that job? You sure you should have put your kids in that program? And He will do this. And you may, even if you knew, He's going to ask these questions. He's going to push you, try to get confusion, because in the midst of confusion, the enemy works the strongest. If people are in confusion, that's why strife is so bad. The Bible says, where strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. When you yield to strife, you are yielding to the enemy. When you yield to arguing, you become a mouthpiece. Now, I'm not saying none of us walk through this perfectly. You may have an argument with somebody, but you need to know in the middle of it, there's a way to disagree without being completely disagreeable. And you don't have to say certain things to tear the other person down, even if you have a disagreement. Because you have to know, when we say certain things, if we yield ourselves as a mouthpiece to the enemy, that's the manifest presence of the devil. Just like you could be yielding to God and it's just the peace of God coming on. But no, confusion is where the enemy will work. So he likes to get us in confusion. He attempts to get us in confusion. He wants it to be to, so that you're questioning God, you're questioning your faith, you're questioning everything around you, going, well, I don't know if we should have moved here. I don't know. Should we have done this? What if I did this? And just keep going. You can go for weeks and months just going around that circle. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, he'll just keep you going, and then right when you think you're about ready, you're coming out, he'll ask you another question. Here you go again. You're just going to go right back again. And he plays this game. He'll just spin you like this. And then if you're going to work in the mental realm and try to figure things out, he'll just poke you. Think, well, what about this? You ever think about that? Well, this is logical. And he'll just keep you, well, I don't know, this study over here said this, and he'll just keep you like this. Because he's way, way smarter than we are in the natural. I don't care how smart you are or anybody else is on this earth. We aren't thousands of years old and have seen everything that humanity has to offer. He's seen every personality, seen every ethnicity. He knows how everybody works, and he knows how men work. So he can look at you and go, yeah, let's see how you react to this. Boom. He is much smarter than we are in the natural. You can't go toe-to-toe to him, with him with your brain power or with your intellect. You can't. You get whooped every time. So how do we get past him? If we look to God, God is much, much, it's not even worth saying. I could say much greater till next week. I could say much, 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 and stay here, and I still wouldn't have even scratched the surface of how big God is compared to Satan. Right. Satan is a created being. God is not. He's the Almighty. Satan likes to make you think he's big and tough, but the fact is he's a coward. He's been defeated. He's a liar. So what does he try to do? He tries to get you to doubt God, tries to get you confused so that you don't know which way is up, because if you don't know which way is up, you're not going to be effective for God. But if you can know what God is telling you, and you're strong and secure, now you're doing what the Almighty told you. The Almighty's smarter than the devil. I may not be able to see 10 years down the road, but the Almighty can. He knows now more clearly what's going to happen 10 years from now than I know what happened yesterday. He knows exactly what's going to happen. And so he says, do this. And in that command has everything taken care of to sidestep everything that the enemy is going to throw at you. That doesn't mean you're not going to have to walk through some things. You may come up against some things, but what you have to know is, if God told me to be here, he already saw ahead, saw all the junk that the enemy is going to throw at me, and there's an answer, so I'm supposed to be here, and what do I do now, Lord? Because the answer's here. Because God put me here, and that therefore I will be victorious. End of story. But to have that kind of confidence, you need to know the voice of God. We need to know how he leads us. And that's what we've been talking about for the last seven. This is the eighth time. So I can't repeat everything that we got to. These build on each other. I can't cover all the different ways, the things that we've been teaching. That's why we put them up on the website so we can go back and listen to them. So we can get that word into us. But the word says that we are led by him. If we're sons and daughters of the Almighty, let's read verse 14 again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Not to fear. If you're walking around trying to avoid things all the time, you're not being led by God. Do you hear me? If you're walking and saying, well, I don't want to go over here because I'm scared this might happen, and ooh, I'm scared this might happen, you're not being led by God. You're being led by fear. And who is the author of fear? That's a trap of his. What if this happens to you? Ooh, you're right. You know, you can walk right into a trap because he'll say, don't go over there. That might happen. And what he really wants you to do is go here. Now, I'm not saying that to put you in fear. I'm saying that you need to be aware of fear. If you're afraid to do something, so many people don't go to the doctor because they're afraid to go to the doctor. Not because they're in faith. They're afraid of going to take to have a certain procedure done or something happen. It's not because they're in faith. It's because they're afraid of what might happen. That is not faith. And it can happen in any other area. I'm afraid to move over there. What if this happens? What if this happens? I'm afraid to take this job. I'm afraid to go to this event. God is not afraid. He is not afraid of anything. So if we're going to be led by Him, it's not going to be by fear. If we're being led by fear, we've already yielded to the enemy. So we need to know, we need to be able to stand up and say, no, God is telling me this way. Now, some things may make my skin crawl about this, but I have to know it's Him telling me, and then I can become bold. I can go through this. I can walk through it because He's with me. But He said, you did not receive the bondage again to fear, the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit, He bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He's going to bear witness with us that we're children of God, that we're His loved ones, and that's the same way He's going to lead us, is He's going to bear witness with us saying, yep, yep, you're on the right track, and it's an internal thing, not a head thing. He doesn't bear witness with our head. Yeah, that all makes sense. It's all figured out. That doesn't mean God's illogical. It just means we don't understand everything that He's telling us. If we knew the way He knows, if you knew everything that was going to happen to you in the next 10 years, and then you put that up against what God's telling you, you would say, oh yeah, that's the best path. Absolutely, that's the right one. But the fact is, today, you don't know everything that's coming up, so today He might tell you to do something, and you go, what? You want me to do what? But you're looking, with your limited knowledge, it might seem illogical. That does not mean it's illogical in the grand sense. That means we just don't know as we ought to know. That's why we need to look to Him. I don't want to look at what I'm limited. You're limited. I've come completely to where I have to live according to what He's telling me to do. And if I do that, I'm going to be in the right track. I don't want to have to figure everything out because I'm not that smart to figure everything out. It's real hard predicting the future, you know. People say that in the natural all the time. It's hard. It's impossible. But with God, it's not. He knows. So if we'll follow Him, then He's got it all taken care of, but He's not going to bear witness with your head. He's not going to say, oh yeah, that's the way I have it figured out too. He's not going to bear witness with your body. That means you may go through some stuff and your body doesn't like it. Do you realize we're supposed to control our flesh? Look at that. Look at that resounding amen. Your flesh does not want to hear that. Your flesh doesn't want to hear that you're going to tell it what to do, when it's going to do something, when it's going to get up, when it's going to watch something, when it's not going to watch something, what it's going to put in its mouth. No, it wants to just rule and say, you'll do what I tell you to do. But no, we're not supposed to be led by that, and we're all in the process of bringing our flesh under, and you have to keep your flesh under. You let it go, the more you feed it, the more you let it have its way, the stronger it will get. We don't want our flesh on the throne, we want our spirit on the throne. That we go by our spirit. I don't care, shut up, mind, you don't know what you're talking about. Shut up, flesh, and your spirit. This is where I'm going. You do that enough, it's like a muscle. You know, if you don't exercise your muscles, they get weak. Well, you exercise your flesh all the time, it's getting strong. You start to put it under, starve it, it gets weak. And you exercise your spirit, it gets strong, to where your flesh goes, yeah, but you shut up, flesh, we're not going that way. Yeah, but I don't get this. Shut up, mind, you don't know what you're talking about anyway. We're going with God. And that's a process. But it's being led by our spirit. If we can be led by our spirit, then we bypass all our limitations. Now we're just being led with God telling us what to do, and that's unlimited. We can do things that we never could have figured out, never been smart enough, never planned enough, and boom, there it is. There it is. Because He sees ahead, He makes provision, and we just have to look to Him. Now, I want to pick up where we left off last week. All that's just, you know, it's good. Not going to take any of that back, but we've gone into some of these different things. I want to pick up where we left up last week. Let's go over to Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1. This is so freeing. The more we get to know about how God leads us and that we just have to do what He tells us to do, there's such freedom in that. Because we don't have to figure it all out then. You know, the world will tell you you got to be the smartest, quickest, strongest, fastest, you know. You have to beat everybody to the punch. If you can see, you know, 15 years in the future, God already knows what the hot whatever is going to be. He can beat everybody to the punch. If you'll just be where He has called you to be, then you'll already be right in the right place, best position for what God has called you to do. Every time. There's nothing like, and then we don't have to figure it out. We say, God, what do you want me to do? Okay. And then we make sure we've heard Him and then go to execute. It is that simple. But like I said, the enemy doesn't like simple. The enemy tries to come in and confuse this whole mess so that it doesn't look simple. Well, I know God told you to do that, but you ever think about this? What if this happens? And try to get you to doubt simple and to try to get you in the realm of reason, which is what we're talking about today. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, do not be conformed to the world, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice that. He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? Transformed means, that's the same word like when a caterpillar transforms into a butterfly. It's a complete change. That's what he's saying, that we would be transformed by what? How are we going to be transformed into something else? By renewing our mind. By thinking a different way. And that's what we've been focused on the last couple weeks in being led, is that your head can give you fits with stuff. But the more we let the Word of God renew our mind, the more we think like God thinks, even your mind won't give you those fits. And when you do have something pop into your mind, I say, well, what about this? You can answer it with the Word. You have the enemy come and ask you some question, just like he did with Jesus when he was tempting him, and you answer it with the Word. Your mind says, well, what about this? And you say, the Word says this. And the more our minds are renewed to that, the more weaponry we have at our disposal with the Word of God. He said, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Now notice this. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What are we talking about? We're talking about being led by the Spirit, knowing the will of God. And what does he say here? That he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. So if we'll renew our mind, we're going to renew our mind with the Word of God, we'll prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will. In other words, that's going to help you to know God's will. Now, we got to be led by our spirit. We got to hook up with our spirit, but we're talking about specifically, what do we do with that mind? This is part of being led, and specifically, what I want to focus on is the Word of God. In that process, we have to renew our mind with the Word. You don't renew you can renew your mind with all kinds of stuff. People call it brainwashing. Well, they're brainwashed. What does that mean? They've just been exposed to this certain way of thinking until that's all they can operate in. And people go and do really dumb stuff sometimes when they've, you know, kill themselves, drink stuff, you know. Dumb stuff. But if we can renew our mind with the Word of God to where all we can think is like God thinks. Now, that kind of brainwashing is not bad. And the world may look at you like you're weird because you don't think like them. But he just got done saying, don't be transformed to the way they think. You be transformed. You don't conform to the way they think. You be transformed by the renewing of your mind to think like the Lord thinks. And if all we can think is, that's what God said about it, okay, here we go. How can we be stopped? The enemy can't deal with that. He throws something at you. What about this? The world's doing that. So God said this. I'm staying here. So you can't be pushed off. And yes, we're supposed to be led by our Spirit, and the Word will always agree with the Spirit. The Spirit will always agree with the Word. So, if we have the Word on something, no use asking God, maybe the Spirit will lead you different. If we have the Word on something, you might as well just say, okay, I'm going to do the Word. But the flesh does not like that. Your mind does not like that if it's not been renewed. And this is a problem. Because it's tempting, and the enemy will tempt you to try to find another answer. I'm not sure. I know what I've heard this. I grew up around this. I've heard people say it. I know what the Word says, but. I know what the Word says about this, but. I know it tells me to do that, but. If you open it up like, what are you looking? You're saying God's Word is not what I want to follow. Give me another answer. Why would you want another answer? Because something about you doesn't like it. We all have flesh. We all have part of our mind that's unrenewed. And so if we have the Word on something and we're looking for another way of doing it, that means we don't want to submit to the Word. If God has already answered us in an area, that's why whenever we go and come up against a decision, this is what we're talking about, being led by the Spirit of God. This is a big deal. Because if God, we have to know what has God put in His Word. If He's put it in His Word, and we're going to say, God, give me wisdom on this. It's no use asking for wisdom if God's plainly stated in your Word, in His Word, this is what you do in this situation. That's the wisdom of God. We need to pray for wisdom when it's not specifically covered. We need to be led by the Spirit, you know, who to marry, whom to marry, and what job to take, because it doesn't say that in the Word specifically, but it does have specific guidelines, and we can never violate those guidelines in seeking to be led by the Spirit of God. So if we have a decision to make, and we say, Lord, help me with this, one of the first things we need to do is search the Scriptures on that. Look to the Word that you do know. The Holy Spirit will lead you in line with the Word even if you don't know the Word. So even if you didn't know the Word, if you don't violate the inward witness, you'll still be on. So this doesn't mean I have to know every little bit of the Word or else I'm doomed. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the more we renew our mind with the Word, the stronger we are. Satan can't pull anything on us, and you already have something in black and white that covers your situation. But when we have a decision to make, if we'll look at Him, look to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, what do I do about this situation? If we have a big decision to make, that is not the time to check out and stop reading the Word. I just have so much to do. I don't have time to read the Bible. I have so much to do. I have this big decision to make. I don't have time for God. That's when we need Him the most. That's when we need to make sure we're centered up on Him and this thing that I'm following is Him. Because like I said before, the enemy likes confusion and busyness leads to that. You get too much going on. But He said, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now look at your scripture sheet there. Romans 12:2 in the New Living Translation. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So don't copy the world. Let's read the second part of that again. Let God. We let Him. How do we let Him? We submit to His Word. Renew our minds to what? To what He says. And whether we agree with it or not, we're going to let Him change us. Lord, I believe You. I don't understand that, but Your Word says it. I can see it right here, so I'm going to let it be the dominating force in my life. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Turn over to Hebrews 4. Let's go there. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hebrews 4, 12. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is sharp, and it will pierce to the division of soul and spirit. So when you're going through something that you're like, I don't know, is that my heart or is that my head? Is that my heart or is that my emotions? You know what he's saying here? The Word of God will draw the dividing line and show you. Do you realize there's things that you're emotionally, you may be emotionally charged and you really feel like, oh, this is God, but it's nothing more than emotion? We need to know that. And sometimes we just need to step back and say, look, I'm not positive about which good way to go. I just have to look to the Word. And you get in the Word. If you don't know, number one, you can look at the Word, but you can also, we're not getting into this today, but praying in other tongues is another great way. You pray in other tongues, you're already yielding to your spirit, shutting your head off because your head will say, that's stupid. You sound like a moron. Why are you talking like that? The enemy will tell you that. This is why it's fought. Because when you're speaking in other tongues, you are praying out the perfect will of God. But just to where, we're not going into that today, but it's important. But the Word of God, just looking at the Word, discerning, looking to Him and saying, Lord, show me. Just being quiet before Him. And I don't mean just one time. I mean over time. If you have a big decision to make, let it sit. Let it sit day after day. Look at the Word. Read the Word. Read the Word daily. And God will speak to us through His Word because His Word is Him speaking to us. And so we could have a situation, we're not sure which way to go, and it may seem fuzzy. Is that my heart, my head, my heart? Look at the Word. It can be a divider and clearly show us what way to go, and God can quicken and say that, and then you see it clearly. Turn over to 2 Timothy 3. Just go backwards. Go backwards, and you have Titus, Philemon, 2 Timothy. Verse 16. It says there all Scripture is given by by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, that's teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction or training, discipline in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Doesn't that sound good? What does it say? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So it is God-breathed, God-directed. It is the voice of God. So if we read in the Scripture and it's saying something about our situation, it's the same as if God Himself were standing near us, giving us the same direction. I can't overemphasize how important this is. Because we cannot look past Scripture to something more profound in a different way God will lead us if the Bible already covers our situation. We open ourselves up to trouble that way. I don't know how many Christians do this. Well, I'm led of the Lord to do this. And you can think of several Scriptures, boom, 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 that contradict it. If you can think of a Scripture that contradicts it, then I don't care how much somebody says, I'm led of the Lord, or the Lord told me, or an angel told me, or I saw a vision, or I had a dream, it's not of God. If it contradicts the Word, period. I don't care if you had a bright, shining light, a 9-foot being come into your room and saying, I'm coming from God, and this is what you ought to do. If it contradicts the Word, throw it out. It doesn't matter how supernatural. People get caught up in the supernatural. The devil is supernatural. If you hear anything that contradicts the Word of God, you throw it out. That's not the direction you ought to go. Period. 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 In any area. In our relationships. In our finances. You want financial advice? People say, well, they're going here and they're going there, and should we do this and that? And they're looking to people that don't even know the Lord. Well, what should we do with our money? They're looking to people that can't see the future, that don't know. Well, I think this market's going to do this, and I think this is going to happen. And they're not even giving to the Lord. They're not putting their finances to do what God told them to do. And we're going to go listen to them and say they know more than the Lord God Almighty? That's nonsense. It's nonsense. You don't go to look to somebody that doesn't even know God and say, well, what do you think I should do with my money? Now, I'm not saying you can't hear financial advice and you're already putting other things into practice and somebody says something and it quickens something on the inside of you and you say, what he's saying is right. That's something different. You're not looking to him. He just said something and it bore witness with what's in your heart. That's totally different than going to somebody and say, you have the answers. Tell me what I should do. Same thing with the doctor. We can go to the doctor and, you know, and you just listen. You shouldn't shut your mind off. It's not go to the doctor or believe God. You better know if you go to the doctor, you better be believing God. Some people, they put them in two buckets. I'm going to believe God, okay, forget it, now I'm going to the doctor, and I just shut every faith off and just whatever you say, doctor. You don't put your life in any man's hands. No, if we're going to go to the doctor, we do it prayerfully and we say, God, should I, not that, you know, nothing against doctors. You should go to the doctor, get checked up. I'm saying if there's something facing you and the doctors have checked it out, you go to God and say, what should we do? Should I have that surgery? Because the surgery could end your life. Or should I not? But we need to know what God is saying, not what a man is saying. The man may say, yeah, go ahead and have it. And you have something on the inside that says, don't do that. Don't do that. I've heard of people. They knew they shouldn't have it. They knew it wasn't God. They had it. They died. Other people knew they needed to have it and said, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. But they really knew they should. But they didn't want to really go to the doctor. And they died. How do you know? This is where you got to be led. By the Spirit of God. But if we don't contradict the Word, if the Word says something, let's read in 2 Timothy again. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, which is all Scripture. It's inspired already. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice that, for correction. You know we all need correction? Yeah, we do. We sometimes need to be corrected because all of our thinking is not perfectly in line with the Word of God yet. And it won't be before we leave. You can get it more and more and more, but not 100%. That's just the fact. Our goal should be, my life is subject to the Word of God. To be more and more like Him, to be transformed into His image, but we're going to be corrected. Instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God is important. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just trying to see if we'll cover one more thing or go on. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why don't we just read a few scriptures on here? Is that all right? You guys got a couple more minutes? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why don't you just go ahead and look at your sheet? Psalm 119, 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." What does the light do for your path? It shows up where the boundaries are, where I need to go. What does it say? The word is a lamp to my feet. His word is a light, is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Psalm 119, 130 says, "The entrance of your words gives light." It gives understanding to the simple. The entrance of your word gives light. His word can show us what to do. His word can direct us. Psalm 119, 23 through 24, "Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." The word can be our counselor. Tell us what to do. Somebody would say, what should I do? What should I do? And the word's right there. Let's just purpose in our heart. Did we ask before we started here that God would show us, that He would lead us, that He would guide us? Let's purpose in our heart that if the word tells us to do something and it's before us and we know what to do, then let's do it. That those are my counselors. Lord, this is what your word says. I know that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that word. I'm going to do it, and it's going to be successful. Over and over and over, His word proves to be the right way. Psalm 119:9, it says, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Hallelujah. The word is our protection. If we'll do what He tells us to do, if we're having problems in a certain area and we see what the word says, if we'll say, "I'm going to do that," it's going to work. It will work. It's the answer. Look at Proverbs 6:20. It says, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart, tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Isn't He telling us how to be led in some areas? There's a whole lot the Word covers. This is what we need to look at first. If we're asking God for a decision, we need to make sure, God, is your word telling me what to do already? Because that's the counsel I'm going to take. There's no use looking outside the word if his word's telling me what to do. That's my counsel. Our attitude should be, that's what I'm doing. Look at Proverbs 6:23 in the New Living Translation. It says, for their command is a lamp, and their instruction is a light. Their corrective discipline is the way to life. Psalm 18:28, it says, for you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all those who trust in him. In other words, his way is not some newfangled thing that somebody thought up saying, this is the best way to lead your life. It is proven. It is tried. It is the way to success in every area. And let's read Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but shall meditate. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may do, or that you may observe to do, according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amen. How? The Word. Keeping the Word before us. Letting the Word. That's how we renew our mind, is keeping that Word there, letting that adjust our thinking. I'm telling you, don't let this be too simple. Because so many times, God's Word has the exact answer that we need. And we've drifted away. And we don't think we can be talked into saying, well, that's not going to help me. If we'll do it, we'll see it work over and over. Hallelujah.